Last week, Ronnie was speaking, starting the Christmas story from the book of Matthew. And I've been given the job of speaking to you about the Christmas story from the book of Luke. So would you like to turn to the book of Luke, please? Anybody that knows me will know that I am I'm a sort of touchy-feely, instinctive type person. I'm not the sort of person that retains detail about things, unlike Ronnie, who retains detail. I don't retain any detail, hardly at all. Let me tell you, I've been part of this dancing group for Step Into Christmas, and I've been to every rehearsal. Can I remember which bit of the hat to touch, which bit of the leg? No. No, that's not me. But I get the, you know, I move. I can do the movements, but I just get the actions. In fact, Lucy said yesterday, are we supposed to do this or that? And Bethany said, that's Mother. She always does that. In other words, she always does it wrong. So I'm not a lady for detail at all, but I get the feel of it. Now, Luke, conversely, is a man of detail. He is a doctor. He is a Greek. He's the only writer in the New Testament who is a Gentile. And he has written an orderly account. Now, we're going to read quite a lot of the story because it's Christmas and we can. It's the only time in the year that we do this. And I want to really bring this story to alive for you today because it's ever so important that we understand what the Lord is saying through these words. Luke is a friend of Paul. He is a traveling companion with Paul. He, as I said, he's a Gentile, and he's a very detailed person. In verse 3, this is what it says, therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Now, what is really important to take from that is that this account has been carefully investigated. It's not something that he's just heard a few people talk about. He has gone and spoken to every possible person he could speak to. He has carefully investigated this. And because he has carefully investigated this, he is writing an orderly account. This account of the Christmas story is in order. Why is he doing this? Why has he investigated this? Why is he wanting to write an orderly account? Well, this Theophilus person is a man who he wants to bless. And he says, you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Brothers and sisters here, family here, we need not just to know what God has taught us. It needs to be proved to us daily. We need to get into this word. We need to be encouraged by one another because just knowing that Jesus is Lord, unless there's legs on it, unless there's a real passion in our belly to really go forward with God, it's not going to make that much difference in our lives. Just knowing that Jesus is Lord. Okay? But what's all the other things surrounding him? What is it that he's come for? We need to know orderly accounts. We need to know the detail to really make our faith live. And that's why I find this Christmas story from Luke really, really exciting. Let's carry on reading. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well on in years. Luke starts a Christmas story by telling us about Zechariah and Elizabeth and the conception and birth of John. Not we don't consider that in the Christmas story often, do we? I mean, do we? I don't ever. But that's what he's doing. He's telling the Christmas story by going behind what is happening on the hillside, behind what is happening in Bethlehem, behind the angel speaking to Mary, and he's starting with Zechariah. Now, these people, they're old, they're barren, but they were from a really high up priestly division. Their ancestry was very godly. But it's not the sort of person you'd think that God would speak to and bring a miracle about in. But that's what he did. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. There are so many times in the Bible that I read something and then I go, what? This is an orderly account of a doctor, an orderly account of an intelligent man that has got in it the most amazing facts about God. An angel just appears to Zechariah. Can you imagine? He's gone in, and he's probably a little bit nervous as well. He's gone in and doing the, I think that it was the cast loss was once a year, so he was really chosen all the way along to go into the Holy of the Holies and burn incense. He was doing something that was really a privileged place, but he was chosen for that privileged place. And that there was his fellow priest praying outside, but he's the only one allowed to go in the Holy of Holies. And he goes to light the incense, and whoa! That's badly doing something it shouldn't be doing. An angel of the Lord appears. Now, I would be terrified. Would you not be? Would you be terrified, or would you be, okay, there's just an angel there? I think an angel appearing. Okay. Is that all right now? Thank you. Sorry about that. An angel appearing at the side of the altar would be the most terrifying thing. And he has a conversation with Zechariah, and he says to Zechariah, don't be afraid, your prayers have been heard. Now, Ronnie has spoken about this recently, and he said, do you not think if Zechariah and Elizabeth were well on in years, they would have stopped praying for a baby? I think they would have. But he said, your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. He is to be a joy to you. He will be a blessing to you. And his job is to make way for the Lord Jesus, who is coming after him. And what does Zechariah say? Whoa, an angel, this is amazing. Holy of Holies, this is incredible thing that the angels have just said to me. Did he say that? No, he didn't. What he said was, that can't possibly be right. What more would he need to see? There's an angel standing there in this Holy of Holies. What more does he need to stop his doubt? Well, of course, he is in good company because Moses doubted as well. He said to God, no, don't send me, send somebody else. Please don't do it. Zechariah said, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well on in years. And the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Now, this is great, because Gabriel is standing in the presence of God. So there's Gabriel there, and there's God. There'd be Jesus there as well, wouldn't there? And there'd be the Holy Spirit as well. And the four of them are having this conversation and they're hatching a plot. They're saying, now, you go down and you speak to Zechariah, because we're going to enable this barren lady, this old barren lady, to have a child, and that's going to be John. And then Gabriel, what we want you to do is we want you to go to Mary and tell her about Jesus. And then Gabriel, we want you to go onto the hillside and proclaim this amazing thing to the shepherds. Guys, it's all in here. Imagine that scene in heaven when they were deciding that this was going to be the way that the Lord Jesus was brought onto this earth. I think it's awesome. It's not just sort of simple reading this. If you engage your mind and you engage your heart, this comes out and lives. Absolutely lives. It is a living word. This is big stuff. I want to say a little bit about John. The angel Gabriel said to Zechariah, John will be a joy and a delight to you. John was so wanted by Elizabeth and Zechariah. In their old age, this boy was so wanted. The Lord had taken their disgrace away. That's what the scriptures say. And there's no doubt that he had a really solid upbringing for the way he had to stand against the tide and speak about the coming of the Lord Jesus. He had a really, really powerful background. But I was reading a little bit about this a few months ago. And, you know, if you've never known what it is to be loved, if you've never really known that acceptance and that love in your life, it's so hard to be good. It's so hard to do what God has asked you to do and to live an upright life if you've never felt truly wanted and truly loved. But John was. He was wanted, and he made good choices, and he fulfilled what God had for him. But back to the story. Back to the story. So Zechariah, because he doubts, struck dumb, but Elizabeth becomes pregnant. Next job for dear old Gabriel, he goes to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, and he speaks to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. We know this story. We know this story, but you know, when I read this story, I don't know if you feel the same, but when I read this story, I feel a tenderness from God to Mary. I feel a real serenity almost when I'm reading about this young girl who was so open to God. When Gabriel went to her, he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And of course, again, he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son." And what she answers, she doesn't doubt like Zechariah did. She doesn't doubt. She wants to know the practicalities. She wants to know how this could possibly be the case, because she is a virgin. And he says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit." God, please let us be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. Let us really understand and know what we are to carry for you. Mary's call was to carry. Mary's call was to carry the Lord. But you know, she was filled with the Spirit at that point. That's what it says here. She was filled with the Spirit at this point. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And now this is where Luke is so great, because he dovetails the two things in. He says, now your relative, it doesn't say cousin, as some of us understand it to be, but your relative Elizabeth, even though she was barren, is in her 6 months. And Mary goes off to visit Elizabeth, and the two of them have the most amazing meeting. As she goes into Zechariah's house, Mary, Elizabeth goes towards her, and Elizabeth gets filled with the Spirit, as does the child. The child in her womb leaps for joy. And she prophesies and she says to Mary, why is it that the mother of our Lord sees fit to visit me? She knew without being told that Mary was carrying the Saviour. This is, are you excited about this? I get so excited about this. It's absolutely amazing. This is a miracle on earth. A miracle on earth. And of course, Mary then goes to prophesy, because she, when you get filled with the Spirit, people, your prophecies will big up God. Prophecy bigs up God. We may prophesy on one another and say, I really feel God is saying this to you, and I really feel God is saying that to you. But unless that prophecy has elevated the Lord, unless the Jesus' train has filled the temple that is us, then it's not a true prophecy. Prophecies big up God. So Gabriel goes to Zechariah. Gabriel goes to Mary. Now, don't know if it's Gabriel, but let's look at the shepherds. And this is Luke 2. There were shepherds living out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So there they are, these shepherds. It's night time. It's dark. They're camping. They're looking after their sheep, going about their daily life, when all of a sudden, zap, the glory of God shone around them, and an angel appears and gives them this awesome message. And of course, again, the angel says, do not be afraid. Not only that, a load of other angels come and start to sing glory to God as well. These shepherds must have been completely terrified. I would have been completely terrified. I wonder what the glory of the Lord looks like. It's light, isn't it? It has to be big neon light on you, I guess. The glory of the Lord came upon them. We will all have our different ideas about what the glory of the Lord coming on us would be like. It really is quite amazing. But when the glory of the Lord came upon them, they didn't say, whoa, that's brilliant. They were terrified. Have you ever been terrified? I've been terrified. It's a horrible thing. But the angel says, no, don't be afraid. This is something beyond your understanding. It's the same thing he said to Mary. This is beyond your understanding. The same as Zechariah. This is beyond your understanding. Our brains can't take it in half the time. But let's try. Let's try and take it in. Let's try and put ourselves into the place of these people. Let us try and imagine what it would have been like to have been on the mountainside looking after your sheep when this happened. You know, I reckon, because when boys camp, they don't wash, do they? I mean, let's face it, you don't. I reckon they'd be really smelly. I reckon these shepherds would be really smelly. And off they trot, they go off, and they find the manger, and they try Mary and Joseph. They find Mary and Joseph and Jesus wrapped in cloth, as was prophesied to them. And, you know, they saw him. And then because they'd seen him, they go off and they testify to other people. They say, hey, guess what I've seen? Guess what's just happened to me? Do you think that when they went off to go and find the child, they left somebody to look after the sheep? Because they were protecting the sheep, weren't they, on the hillside at night. Do you think they all left? Or did they say they leave a couple of people? Wouldn't you just hate to be the person left behind? It's a horrible thought, isn't it? But I don't think they would have left them, because that was their job. But hey, I'm sort of reading now into the story. But I just want to really encourage you this morning, when you read the Word of God and when you read the Christmas story. I've been a Christian 30 odd years. The Christmas story is very familiar to me, but it never fails to excite me. Please read the scripture using your imagination. Please try and receive from God what it's saying here. Imagine yourself in these situations, because it will really help you know the Lord. So, zapped by an angel. These three groups of people, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and the shepherds, they were zapped by an angel. They had an encounter with God. Now, why was this? In each incident, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I know I am awesome. I know that I am frightening, but I have been sent by God to speak to you and to give you this incredible message." To Zechariah, he wanted to bring the message that John was going to be birthed from Zechariah and Elizabeth. And John was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. But what did he ask Zechariah to do? What was God's point in bringing that message to Zechariah, apart from the actual outworking of the thing? God is working out his purposes. What he asked Zechariah to do was to believe. He came and visited him. Gabriel came and visited him because he wanted him to believe that what has been told him was true. And of course, he asked him to believe it before it had happened. This was something that in the norm would not be possible. This couple were old. But if an angel came to you and said something miraculous was about to happen and told you what it was, I really hope that you'd believe what he said. Because I think some of us would go, "That's my imagination. Can't possibly believe that." But you know, God is supernaturally natural. He's supernaturally natural. And I think as people, we humanize our thoughts much too much. I think we need to allow God to really show us some miraculous things. As we look out and we see the trees and we see the grass and we see the birds and we see this, let's look out and try and see things through the eyes of Jesus. Try and see things in that supernatural way. So what God wanted Zechariah to do was to believe. What did God want Mary to do, which she did so beautifully? His call to Mary was to carry. And we know that when we carry something, it can cause the most amazing joy and it can cause the most excruciating pain. When we carry something, we have a balance of things. It can bring us the most tremendous feeling and sense of rightness, but it's got the other side of it that can cause an awful lot of pain at times in our life as well. I mean, the ministry, for a start, I have known in this ministry amazing joy to see somebody really give their life to the Lord, to see somebody be healed of something, to see people joyful, to see people in relationships with each other is the best thing in the world. To be able to bring someone the heart of God, there is nothing greater. To say, "I believe God is saying this to you," or just standing with somebody as they have a knowledge of God in their hearts, it's tremendous. But the other side of it is that because you care for each other, you also share in their pain. And there is incredible pain too when you carry something. But there's no mistake that you are carrying the Lord in your heart. Like Mary did, she carried him in her body. She was filled with the Spirit. She carried him in her heart also. She was the chosen one to carry the chosen one. But we today, as we sit here, carry the Lord in our hearts. And that will be a tremendous joy, and it will be at times a tremendous pain. It will be an intense pain when he asks us to do stuff that we don't want to do, or asks us to forgive somebody that's been really horrible to us, or asks us to decide on a plan in our lives that we don't really want to do because we'd rather be in the world. It's a hard thing to carry the Lord. And what about the shepherds? You know, do you think, when you think about the shepherds, would you think that they were more in awe of seeing this angelic host on the hillside praising God than they would have been of seeing a little crinkly baby in a manger? I wonder what they would have gone away with thinking. I know the two marry with each other, because if it hadn't been for the angels, they wouldn't have met Jesus in the manger. But it's quite an interesting thought, isn't it? What was the thing that they would be telling people about? And the angels and the singing and the glory of God and the light and the this and the that. And then there was a baby in a manger. I don't know. But I think it's quite a fascinating thing to imagine yourself as one of these bathed, not smelly shepherds. But what did he ask the shepherds to do? He asked the shepherds to see. He asked them to see the angels. He asked them to then travel to the manger to see Jesus. And because they had seen Jesus, they were told about him. So he asked Zechariah to believe. He asked Mary to carry. And he asked the shepherds to see. There were the three scriptures in all that I've read to you that really come out to me and make a difference in my faith and in my life. The first is, as I've talked to you before, is the glory of the Lord shone around them. I want the glory of God to shine on me, and I want him to shine on you. I want you to know what the glory of God means. The next scripture is, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. When you know God, when you've been called for a purpose, treasure these things. Think about these things. Don't just think, oh, you know, that's okay, that's what everybody experiences. That everybody experiences salvation, everybody experiences baptism, everybody experiences. No, this is important. We are to treasure, to value these things, and to think about them, in our hearts. And I love that Mary treasured these things and she pondered them in her heart. She thought things through. Let us do that about our precious God, our precious Jesus. Let us treasure him today. And then the other scripture that I think is great in this is the reason that the book was written in the first place, that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. We are taught through the word. We are taught through preaching. We are taught through worship. We are taught by our relationships with each other. I really know in this place we encourage each other in our faith. That's what we've been called to do. But let us really help one another to live that life that God has got for us well. If we see one of us a bit down, if we see one of us struggling, pray and ask God if there's something that he wants you to take to them that will bless their souls. I've got a really good relationship with Jill, and she texting to and fro yesterday, and she said something to me about a situation that I'd been talking to her about, and it blessed my soul. It really blessed my soul. So, you know, texted her back and said, "You bless my soul here, Jill," and she sort of sent me a kisses back, as you do. But let us really work hard at blessing each other in that way, because we need strengthening. We're living in a world that fights against us all the time. It's jolly hard to live a life of Christ. It's really difficult at times, but let us do what we can to encourage one another and to enable one another to stand for. We should be the most confident people in our faith. We should really treasure each moment that God has given to us. So what is God saying to us? Well, he's saying to us this morning, don't be afraid. That's the big thing of what he's saying. The angel said to each person, don't be afraid. And God would say that to you. Don't be afraid. I'd say to you, is there something that God is asking you to believe in your life? Is there something that he's maybe sort of said to you and you're thinking, no, that can't be the case. No. Don't think so. Don't be afraid. God is asking you to believe. And I just leave that up in the air, because if that is you, you will know in your spirit that that is you. He's asking you to believe. You know, the Jews were waiting for a Messiah. But in all that time, in all the time of the Lord's life, they didn't accept him as a Messiah, and they crucified him. I sometimes think, you know, the shepherds, they must have told their children and their children's children about this incident on the hillside. Do you think 30 years after this incident, people in their family or even them would have seen the ministry of Jesus and gone, that's the baby, that's the boy? How amazing if that was. I'm sure that must have happened. It can't not have happened. Because you, when something miraculous has happened to you, you share it. And that's what they were doing. They were called to see, and from seeing, they shared. The next thing I believe God would want us to consider is, don't be afraid. What is it you're carrying? What is it you're carrying? I was thinking about you, Naomi, with your carrying Youth for Christ. And I know it's sort of sometimes one step forward and two steps back. I want to say to you in Jesus' name, don't be afraid. Because what you are carrying, you will see. It will come to fruition. That is the same. There's quite a few different things going on here. Don't be afraid. What you're carrying, if you have a burden for something, someone, if you have a burden for a ministry area, if you have a burden for a person, don't be afraid. God is going to bring it about. Why is that? Because he answers prayer. This isn't somebody who just does stuff off the back of, because he wants to do, well, he does do stuff because he wants to do it. But this is a God who is intimately involved with every single part of your life. And he wants to hear your prayers. He wants to give you the desire of your heart. He gave it to Zechariah and Elizabeth. That sort of does my head in, really. Elizabeth could not have children. She was barren. She was also old. And yet, she had a child in her old age. It's quite incredible, isn't it? Quite incredible. God is able to do the impossible. It says that when he talks to Mary. He says, for God, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. Yeah, for nothing is impossible with God, it says there. Nothing is impossible with God. Do you have the faith to pray for that thing? Do you have the faith to walk forward in that area? Are you carrying something? What is it you're carrying? And the last one is, don't be afraid, for eternal life is yours. What can you see? What can you see this morning? Are you seeing life hard? Are you seeing life as just one big struggle? Or are you seeing life full of God's glory because it's nearly Christmas and we can celebrate all this in a way that we can't the rest of the year? When you speak to people who don't know the Lord, do you ever speak to them about the incredible thing that Angel Gabriel did? This is supernaturally natural for God. Let us see. Let God this morning clear our blurred vision. Sometimes we need to, it's like, you know, your glasses get ever so dirty and so you've got to wash them. It's like that this morning. I think that God really wants to clear our vision, to help us to see the glory, the magnificence and the awe of the living God. Today, and this day and age, we don't need to be zapped by an angel. Because what wasn't happening then was people were not being filled with the Holy Spirit, all believers. They weren't filled with the Spirit. It was only particular people throughout the ages. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both filled with the Spirit. John was filled with the Spirit. Mary was filled with the Spirit. And then the angel, the shepherds, sounds like they were, although it doesn't say so. They certainly had a real encounter with God. They were all zapped by an angel. They had an encounter with God. We don't need that because we have in us the Holy Spirit. We are carrying in us Jesus. We are carrying in us the filling of the Holy Spirit. So we don't need that. But this morning I want to see the glory of God. I want to treasure what God has given me. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's stand.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for who you are, that you're such an almighty God, that you're such an all-powerful God, that there is nothing that you do not know, and there's nothing that you cannot do. And Lord, I just thank you for the word that Pam brought to us this morning. And I thank you that even though it's a story we've heard hundreds of times, it can just be made alive to us, Lord, because we just look at it, we read it, and we just realize your greatness and your vastness, Lord God. You are incredible. And so, Father God, I just pray that this morning, as we close, you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord.
Yes,
God.
Father.
You will fill us to overflowing, because that same God is here in this room.
Yes, Father.
And that should be something, Lord, that astounds us. And so, Father God, I just pray that you will pour yourself into us, Lord God, that you will make us anew, that you will do something in us, Lord God, that hasn't been done in us before, just because you are God. We need you, Lord God. We desperately need you. Allow us to realize that need every single day.
Father.
Thank you, Jesus, in
yes,
your precious name.
Thank you.
Amen.